Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day, this Palm Sunday, and also the Sunday of the Passion, is the gospel lesson which you have just heard read, which describes for us the Passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our theme this morning, Jesus and the 6 hours. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of Christ Jesus, without doubt, your Lord Jesus is very controversial, then and especially today. Then there was the anger and the disgust and the outright hatred of him. And it's very clear in our text this morning. The verbal abuse begins as soon as he is lifted up, and it lasts for 3 straight hours. And Jesus endures all of this. He endures all of it for you and for me. So this morning, yes, we hear of Jesus and the 6 hours. Our text this morning gives us a very distinct timeline. First are the hours from 9 a.m. to noon. And now in Jewish time, this is the 3rd hour to the 6th hour. The last distinction of time is from noon to 3 p.m., or the 6th hour to the 9th hour. St. Matthew is very, very clear that to the left and to the right of Jesus, beginning there at 9 a.m. in the morning, were 2 robbers, 2 thieves who were also executed with him. Therefore, these 2 thieves being executed with Jesus actually fulfills Scripture. And it's written in Isaiah chapter 53. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Now may I add, according to St. Luke, one of these thieves who also reviled him also repented. The other did not. In the divine will of God, these 2 robbers who were crucified with Jesus shows us the wonders of the hour of death, that there is a conversion, there can be a conversion at the hour of death. But it also shows us the horror, the outright horror of rejecting Jesus in the hour of one's most need. 1 robber was saved. The other robber was condemned. So we begin this morning with the 3rd hour. And it's verses 39 through 44 there on your bulletin insert under the gospel. And we know that Jesus is verbally abused by 3 groups of people. There's the citizens of Jerusalem and the visiting Jews. Remember, it's Passover. So there's Jews from the whole region. Now they have crowded into Jerusalem. And some of these Jews are also part of this crowd. Secondly, there's the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And lastly, the 2 robbers. They're mocking numbered, ironically, 7. Which Jesus counters with his 7 divine words from his cross. The citizens begin the mocking, and they repeat the same charges that Jesus had already heard and been spoken against him by the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. The ruling council had condemned Jesus and mocked him and accused him of blasphemy. The crowd cast evil words and actions towards Jesus, wagging their heads, which denotes for us that the crowd was being arrogant toward him. They were showing their disapproval, and yes, even their outright hatred of him. Their first mocking is there in verse 40, and it goes back to John chapter 2. There in John chapter 2, Jesus has come to the temple, and he has cleansed the temple. And the Jews now ask for a sign. wanting Jesus to tell them, by what authority do you do this? And Jesus responded by saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus is speaking of his death and resurrection. He was speaking about his temple, his holy body, the true temple of God, not the temple built by human hands. Yet the Jews did not forget. They did not forget what Jesus had said. 3 years later, they used Jesus' words against him. They used these words before Caiaphas, and they used them again here at Golgotha. Their second mocking, dear friends, is the worst of all. And it's the most evil of all. The words they use should be very familiar to you. They are the words that Satan used in tempting Jesus. The very same words that he used in tempting Adam and Eve, if you will. Casting doubt. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. They mocked Jesus by tempting him once again to prove his sonship. These are satanic words, words of rank unbelief and total rejection of Jesus. Unbelief. Unbelief always says the opposite of that which faith must cling to. We remember that Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. Jesus proved to the mockers, to everyone present, and to all of us, that he is the Son of God by staying on his cross. Not only for their forgiveness, but for your forgiveness, and for my forgiveness, and for the forgiveness of sins of the whole world. So now this brings us to the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders. They join in on the mocking. He saved others. He cannot save himself. This is their third mocking. Literally, they are calling Jesus a phony. And all those miracles that he has worked, they are false. They are useless. This man hanging there, obviously he can't save himself. Therefore, he is not God. The fourth mocking follows. He is the King of Israel? These words, without doubt, show that they do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah. Rather, they use these words as a sign of scorn and disrespect. Did you notice what they said after this? That if Jesus comes off the cross, they would believe in him? If we stop to think about it, what have they already seen? They've seen Jesus heal a blind man, yet did they believe? Many of them were there when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. Yet, did they believe? No. The root problem of these scribes and elders and Pharisees, these chief priests who were mocking Jesus, their root problem is their impenitence. Their disdain and unbelief led them to lie. Jesus had already told them, and these words truly do ring true, not only for those Pharisees and those mockers, but also for those today. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's will. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe. Now the fifth mocking. They said, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Now the revilers, the mockers, they turn their attention kind of away from Jesus and they begin to mock God the Father. They're telling God, if he's truly your son, bring him off the cross and do it right now if you really want him, if he is really your son. They were all but saying to God the Father, do you or don't you want him? Jesus had already told them very clearly that he is the Son of God, which enraged them. And may I point out, by the way, it's not in our English, but in the original language, all the verbs, all the Greek verbs that are used in all of this mocking are very violent verbs. They are words that are used to inflict punishment and to inflict pain on a person. Their mocking is not a slip of the tongue. No, their mocking comes from a malicious and evil heart. Now we know that there is a final group of mockers there in verse 44, which we've already discussed, the two robbers. And it's true that Matthew doesn't tell us what they said, but Luke does. And yes, both thieves originally began mocking Jesus until one thief was convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this one thief repented of his sins. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. This brings us to the sixth hour, or high noon. And at noon, suddenly the mocking stops and darkness comes over the land. The sun stops shining, as Mark tells us. This eclipse of the sun, if you will, is a supernatural act of God. Now, I must remind you that this is Passover, which begins in just about 6 hours at 6 p.m., Now, Passover is always celebrated during a new moon, which means that we have the sun and we have the earth, and over here on the opposite side of the earth is the moon. Therefore, it cannot be a natural eclipse like some people will try to tell you. It's not physically possible, but it is a supernatural darkening of the sun. From noon to 3 p.m., there, your Lord Jesus and my Lord Jesus hangs and suffers in total darkness, in total silence. Jesus is cursed. He is made sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. His Father punishes his Son in our stead. During these 3 hours, the Father, if you will, abhors his only begotten Son because his full wrath is poured onto his Son. God, the Father, turns away from his Son. His countenance is not lifted upon him. His Son, Jesus, is now the sin bearer of the entire world. My dear brother and sister, these are the most 3 horrible hours ever for Jesus. But for us, they are 3 glorious hours. For there, Jesus is bearing your sin and my sin so that we would not have to endure the full wrath of God because Jesus has already done it for us. And at the end of this, this extreme pain, this turning away from his Father, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't say my Father or our Father? He says, my God. Jesus has truly been forsaken. He has been deserted by his God. The sin of the entire world, past, present, and future, has been laid squarely on his shoulders, and he suffers total rejection, the full wrath of his Father. In those 3 dark, agonizing hours, A wall of separation is risen between Father and Son. And that wall of separation for those 3 hours is your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Jesus thirsts for his Father, for his God, but God has removed himself. It is not the Son who has left the Father, but the Father, the Son. The nearest that we can come near to understanding this deep, deep mystery, is to think of Jesus being covered with all of the world's sin. And when God the Father looks at his Son, he turns away from him in abject disgust and horror. In the midst of Jesus' deep abandonment, there he hangs, silent and suffering. The penalty of your sin and my sin. And he does not voice a single complaint. Have you noticed that Jesus only speaks after these 3 hours? At the very instant of the full wrath of God, and it is completed, Jesus has endured to the very end. He has drank the cup of wrath to the very bottom. And so ends his passion. But not the verbal abuse. As soon as there's light, the abuse begins again. This man is calling Elijah, they cry out. If Jesus had been calling Elijah, the Greek words would have been totally different. They misunderstand. And they misunderstand on purpose because they are scoffing at Jesus once again. The intense darkness of this dark hours that Jesus endured was a judgment of God on man's sin. But God's judgment did not affect these evil men in any way. In verse 48, just as the repentant thief is forgiven of his sins, as Luke notes, a man from the crowd runs out with a stick, a pole, a hyssop plant actually, and he gives Jesus a drink. But they said, do not give him a drink in a sense. Don't give him a drink. Maybe Elijah will give him something to drink. Again, verbally abusing him. So now we close. We come close as we come now to the third hour. 3 p.m. And Jesus cries out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Our Lord's sorrows are past. Jesus is dead. God is dead. Yet, as he has told them, and as he reminds us, no one takes it, his life, from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to raise it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus has laid down his life, and he has done it willingly, and he has done it freely. And then he gives up his life with a loud cry so that all of heaven and earth can hear what he has done, so that each of you will hear and believe what Jesus has done for all of you. He has forgiven you of all your sin. So we close with these words from St. Paul. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.